This is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of May 9th, 2021. I want to wish all mothers that are listening a happy Mother's Day. Our call to worship is adapted from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. For as mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Let us bless the Lord with all we have within us. Let us bless his holy name. Amen. The message today was inspired by Pastor Rick Warren, who, when he was preparing for a Mother's Day message, asked himself two questions. First of all, what is a hallmark of a great mother? And second, he asked, what is the greatest gift you could give a mother? The answer he came up with was the same for both questions. And that answer is kindness. It is a characteristic of a great mother to be kind. And it is also the greatest thing you can do for your mother is to show her kindness. When we speak of kindness, what do we mean? Kindness is not when we get everything we want, because that can be the worst thing. When I chose the title for this sermon, Sowing Kindness, I was thinking of scattering the seed of kindness. But I was remembered of a different word with the same pronunciation, sowing, S-E-W-I-N-G. It's likely that a number of us have memories of finding torn clothing mended in the morning by our mothers. Or maybe it was a last-minute costume being sewn together or a hem adjusted. As well as other countless acts of kindness that our mothers perform for us. However, kindness isn't just for mothers. When we're thinking about kindness today, we're not just speaking about something that mothers do. This is for all of us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17, those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. Those who are kind benefit themselves. Kindness is for all of us. What is kindness? How do we define that? Joseph Joelberg says, kindness consists in loving people more than they deserve. Kindness consists in loving people more than they deserve. And this is exactly how God loves us. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45. Luke's version of the sermon of Jesus says, in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. And listen to this, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is kind. Kindness consists in loving people more than they deserve. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 reminds us of the purpose of God's kindness to us. It says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" God's kindness towards us awakens us to God's grace that we don't deserve, and yet he reaches out to us. As Christians, we are to live lives of kindness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 in the NIV says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." The Living Bible translates a portion of that verse this way: "Because of God's deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others." You see that? Kindness is love in action. It's something you do. Notice that word, practice kindness. Practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness. It's something you do. It's practical. How can we become more deliberate in our kindness? We're going to look at five words to suggest how we can be a kinder person. One is be sensitive. Two is supportive. Number three is be sympathetic. Number four, be straightforward. And number five, be spontaneous. So first of all, be sensitive. In other words, tune in. Become aware of the needs around you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Each one of you should not only look to your own interest, but also to the interests of others." Paul is saying that we need to be aware of the needs of others. If you care, you'll be aware. And the number one barrier to kindness is busyness. When I get too busy, I don't have time to be kind. I'm the least kind to my wife, to other people, when I have my agenda, my goals, my desires. I've got to do what I've got to do, and I don't have time to be kind. If I were to ask you, what are the three greatest needs of the people closest to you this last week, would you be able to answer? Kindness starts with being aware and sensitive. If you care, you'll be aware. So secondly, be supportive. Kindness is shown through being supportive in your speech, and this is demonstrated in the way you talk to people. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, "Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit." Do you remember how ruthless kids were on the playground when you went to school? They'd look to exploit every weakness and failure and tease you over them. You'd be hurt. You'd go home and be reminded of the rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words or names will never hurt me." It may have helped as a child. However, it's not true. Truth is, a broken bone heals faster than a broken spirit. The Bible says kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Be careful what you say. Your words have a great power to heal or to hurt. How much do you support people with your words? Are you kind? Are you an encourager or are you a discourager? Do you lift people up with your words or do you put them down? When you belittle people, you are being little. So be sensitive, be supportive, and thirdly, be sympathetic. Kind people share in the emotions of others. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, "When others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrows." Remember what Jesus did at the death of Lazarus when he met Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha? We're told he wept. Now, some people struggle with funerals. They say, "I feel so awkward when I go to a funeral. I don't know what to say." The best way to handle a funeral is just to weep with people, to share their sorrow. You don't have to say anything. In fact, just being there is being kind. The best thing you can do when someone is grieving is to cry with them. Weep with those who weep. That's what it means to be kind. And rejoice with those who rejoice. Be sensitive, be supportive, be sympathetic. And fourthly, be straightforward. Sometimes kindness means being candid and frank, leveling with people when they're making a mistake. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says this, "Wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy." And Psalm 145, verse 5 says, "A good man may rebuke me in kindness." That's the essence of the slogan you sometimes see or on a bumper sticker, "Real friends don't let friends drive drunk." A real friend doesn't say, "It's none of my business." If you're a friend, it's your business if your friend is going to hurt themselves. Sometimes the kindest thing you can do is to level with a person and tell them exactly what they're doing wrong. But do so in love. Be sensitive, be supportive, be sympathetic. But when you know you must, be straightforward. When you go to a doctor, do you want them to lie to you or do you want them to be straightforward? Do you want them to say, "You need surgery or you're going to die"? Or do you want them to say, "It's not a big deal. You might get well on your own. Think positive." No, you want them to tell it like it is. Be straightforward. "If I have a problem, please tell me." Psalm 145, verse 5, "A good man may rebuke me in kindness." Care enough to confront that child, that mate, that friend, that employee. How do you know when to confront and when to comfort? You have to evaluate each situation and prayerfully figure out which is going to bring the most healing. Sometimes comfort will, sometimes being direct will. If you're going to be a kind person, you need to be sensitive, you need to be supportive, you need to be sympathetic and straightforward. And fifthly, this one can be fun, be spontaneous. In other words, don't wait to do a kind act. When you have the time to do it, do it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "As we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Make note of that phrase, "as we have opportunity." When should you be kind? When you see an opportunity to be kind, when you see a need. Have you ever had anyone do something nice for you and you think, "I need to write that person a note"? What happens if you don't do that right away? I don't know about you, but I forget, I put it off, and then so much time has passed, it'd be an embarrassment to write it. So you miss that opportunity. The lesson for us to learn is that opportunities to show kindness do not always last. You must do it now when you have the opportunity. Otherwise, they will pass. I read this saying that is something to remember here. It says, "Give roses while people can smell them." Wow. Don't wait for the funeral. Give roses while people can smell them. However, the number one enemy of kindness is busyness. We just get so busy, we don't have time for anything but our own agenda. You know, people might say this, "You know, I'm too busy to serve. I'm too busy to have a ministry." Really, then you're too busy because you're out of God's will. You're out of balance. Life involves blessing others, and that is a blessing to you. Who can you be kind to this week? Look around you. Are there people that are discouraged and hurting? How about at home? Is it possible that this week you could be a little kinder to your spouse or to your children? How about at work? Is there someone new you could show kindness to? How about that person who's unkind to you at work? Some people are unkind to others simply because they themselves have never experienced kindness. How about at school? Do you think it's possible to be kind to that person that nobody else likes? Is it just possible, in the name of Jesus, that you could be kind to that person this week? then watch what happens. Kindness transforms people. How about that friend of yours who doesn't know Jesus Christ? The kindest thing you can do for someone is to share the Lord with them. Make a friend for life. Tell them that God loves them. That's the kindest thing you can do. And remember that you may be the only Bible that some people ever read. Think of yourself as a living Bible, because for some people, you are a living Bible. Why are we talking about this today? Because the Christian life is to be a life of kindness. We can make following God so complicated, but it isn't the rules of right and wrong. The prophet Malachi, in chapter 6, verse 8, tells us how to live in a way which pleases God. It's quite simple. He said, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." That's it. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. It's no surprise, then, that kindness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, kindness, is included in there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, calls for kindness to be as natural to a Christian as wearing clothing is. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's not surprising then to hear that as the early Christians did this, the Romans in the Roman Empire used to confuse two Greek words, Christos, which means Christ, and Christians, and the word Krestos, which means kind. They were always confusing those words, Christians and kindness. I can't think of a better confusion. I can't think of two words that ought to be synonymous. To be a Christian is to be a kind person. This week, I found a hymn on thankfulness called "Forgive Us, Lord, for Shallow Thankfulness." Let me read it as a poem, because really that's how all hymns get started. "Forgive us, Lord, for shallow thankfulness, for dull content with warmth and sheltered care, for songs of praise, for food and harvest press, while your richer gifts were unaware. Teach us to thank you, Lord, for love and grace, for life and vision, for a purpose clear, for Christ, your Son, and for each human face that shows your message ever new and near. Forgive us, Lord, for selfish thanks and praise, for words that speak at variance with deeds. Forgive our thanks for wailing pleasant ways, unmindful of a broken brother's needs. Teach us, O Lord, true thankfulness divine that gives us as Christ gave, never counting cost, that knows no barrier of yours and mine, assured that only what's withheld is lost. Forgive us, Lord, for feast that knows not fast, for joy in things that meanwhile starve the soul, for walls and wars that hide your mercies vast and blur our vision of the kingdom goal. Open our eyes to see your love's intent, to know with minds and hearts its depth and height. May thankfulness be days in service spend, reflection of Christ's life and love and light. Forgive us, Lord, for shallow thankfulness." Here's two things to do this week. First, pray about finding a place to serve. Find a place where you can give an act of kindness. It may be in your community or in your church, as the churches hopefully will become more active as the fall approaches. So pray to find a place to serve, whether that be a telephone ministry or writing notes or some ministry in your community or church. Second thing, do some acts, secret acts of kindness to those around you this week. There are 7 secret acts of kindness. And don't give out hints. Did you notice the flowers? Or that the bathroom was clean? Do these acts of kindness, receiving your joy from the Lord. For it is the Lord you are imitating. For he is kind to all of us, the just and the unjust. Thank you, Lord. Let me close with a benediction from Colossians chapter 15, verse A, 16, verse A, and 17. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today.